Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The word of the Lord. Thank you for coming out here tonight. Man, we're having some weather around Lake Charles, Louisiana, which is where a lot of Becky's family's from. They said they have had the worst weather of any city in America for the last several years, and they are underwater tonight. So when you're praying, pray for people that are flooding. This rain is a tremendous blessing to Pastor Brandon and myself and what we do, but too much of it is a real problem for people, so pray for people. The Bible said rejoice with those that rejoice. That's me, so you ought to be rejoicing. And then you need to rejoice and pray for those that are having problems tonight. But I praise God that the Lord is blessing us from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And if you were not here on Sunday at 11 o'clock and saw what God was doing, there ain't no way to make it up. Say, oh, buy the tape, watch it. It ain't the same. Just not the same. You had to be here. And so, praise God. We're just believing we're going to have another one Sunday so you can catch up. Amen. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The tongue has the ability to create a harvest. And if you learn to love the language of faith and what God is doing, he said you can eat the fruit thereof. You may be seated. God bless you. This is the third installment that I'm talking about, taming the tongue. It is a matter of life or death. Doubt and faith, are matters of the heart. The Bible teaches us that God looks on the heart. The Bible said that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So doubt and faith are the matters of the heart. That's where they're formed. But the consummation of both of these, doubt or faith, is in the tongue. What's in your heart will eventually manifest in the tongue. If you're a person of faith, you'll talk faith. If you're a person of doubt, you'll talk doubt. If you're a person of love, you'll talk love. If you're a person of hate, you will talk hate. But I think that there is a reverse principle here. And when you realize that your faith is not what it should be, and your love is not what it should be, and your hope is not what it should be, that if you care enough about that, that you can begin to say those things that you know are absent in your life. The Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. That's not just a philosophical statement. It is a principle. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the hateful say, I am a loving person. Let those that are sick say, I am well. Let those that are losing say, I am winning. Say the opposite of the negativity that is in your life. There is a backflow from the tongue. Generally, it flows from the heart out through the tongue, but there is a backflow that if you care enough and you realize that it is void in your heart and absentee in your heart, you can begin to say what you want your heart to have, the abundance you want to be in your heart, and you say it over and over and over and over again. Repetition is a wonderful thing. I've told you before, you don't believe what is truth. You believe what you hear the most. And that's the reason why bad communications, people that are not good people and you spend a lot of time with them, it's going to have an effect and a corrupting effect, the Bible said, because you just hear their negativity over and over and over. And that's the reason why when you turn on your television, so much of it is negative. And you hear that over and over and over and over. After a while, it starts to have an effect on you. So the thing is, study the promises of the Word of God. There are parts of the Word of God that I do not dwell on because they're not for me. They're for those people that reject God, for those people that don't believe. They're warnings to them. They are a declaration of what's going to happen to them. So I don't focus my attention on those. I focus my attention on the things that are written to born-again, Spirit-filled believers, one of which I am. And I build myself up with that. I like to be around people that speak positive things, good things, powerful things, faith things. And so when we tame the tongue, it's a matter of life or death. And it's either going to be doubt or faith. And what we say, especially repetitively, can change the heart. Even creation was only manifested, not when God thought. Look at the book of Revelation. God thought, but then God said, let there be. And every time God said, let there be, There was a creation that happened. Something happened. And so it's not just enough for you to think the right things. For you to be empowered to the point that God wants you to be, you've got to learn to take those godly thoughts and verbalize those and put them in the power of your tongue. It is vital that we realize that the power of the tongue is realized three things. When we hold our tongues, when we speak doubt, it's power. It's not good power. It's negative power. When we hold our tongues and are silent, when we speak doubt and we're negative, when we speak faith and we're positive or creative. Let's just talk for a moment about when we should be silent. I would say most of us have a real problem with that. I know I do. When I realize that somebody is negative and they're wrong, I want to correct them. It's not always good to correct them. I realized as I got older, I just can't fix everything. I went to speak at a anniversary of one of my pastor friends that retired, and he'd pastored 46 years or 7 years in the same church. And I went there, and he had several of us speak a little bit. And when I got through with speaking and walked down the aisle that evening in that crowded building, a guy came to me and said, "Pastor Steve, I got saved when you were here." He said, "When you were playing your guitar and singing that song," he said, "it touched me so much, I run down and gave my heart to the Lord." I said, "That's just wonderful." I wasn't going to take 30 minutes to explain to him that I'm musically illiterate. In fact, I felt pretty good about it, actually, that somebody had complimented on my music for the first time in my life. Just sometimes you need to be silent. There's no need to try to fix everything you hear, correct everybody. There's a story in the Bible that I've always thought was unique, and it's the story that precedes the birth of John the Baptist. His father, Zacharias, was visited as he was doing his priestly duties in the temple. He was visited by the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel said, "Zacharias, you and your wife are going to have a baby." And it was shocking to him because he had gray hair and wrinkled skin, and his wife looked worse than he did, I assume. They were old. He said, "We are stricken with age. I'm not sure that's going to happen." And he said, "Oh, yeah, it's going to happen." And he told him exactly what it was going to happen. But the Bible said that Zacharias was both unbelieving, he was doubtful, and he was fearful. Both of those things happened to him. He was fearful and he was doubtful. So when should we hold our peace? When we're fearful. Well, when you get afraid and you're a child of God, and I'm going to tell you, fear will visit all of us. And if you don't resist it, if you entertain it, it will literally become a tangible thing in your life. But when you are fearful or when you're doubtful, the best thing you can do is just keep your mouth shut for a moment until God can equip you with the words that will face the circumstance that's caused you to fear and doubt. And so Gabriel, the angel, told him, said, because of your fear and your doubt, he said, you're not going to be able to speak. You are going to be struck dumb. You can't speak a word. So he came out of the temple, and the people asked him why he had been there so long, in there so long, he couldn't even tell them. Well, John the Baptist was born, and they said he hadn't spoken all these months, and said out of honor to his father, we're going to name him Zacharias also. He asked for a tablet, and when they gave him the tablet, he wrote, his name shall be called John, and the Bible said there wasn't any men named John in his family. And so he said, his name shall be called John, and when he wrote that, his tongue was loosed. There is a real allegory there, and that is that when you know the right name, it will loose your tongue to say the right thing. And there is a name that is above every name. There is no way that I can persuade you how powerful the name of Jesus Christ is. It is the power of God unto salvation. It will heal the sick. It will dispel devils. It will cause angels to stand at attention. It will cause things to literally be created in your life. And so it's a wonderful understanding when you realize the power that is in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said that the whole family in heaven and on earth is named to that name. And neither is there any other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And so Jesus is not a swear word or a byword. It's not a fill-in. It's a name above every name. It's not something you say when you drop your keys. It's something you say when you need to bring a cancer to its knees. It's something you say when you want to rebuke the devourer. It's something you say when you need a miracle. Jesus. And when you say that, devils fear and tremble. When you say that, angels rush to your assistance. It's a name above every name. But it not only does that, it looses your tongue that you can say the right things. Because the wrong answer is deadly. But the right answer is life-giving. Just knowing what to say. Knowing what to say to God. Knowing what to say about God. I told you in an earlier session that what we say about God either closes the heaven or it opens the heaven. Knowing what to say about God and to God. Not only that, friend, when you really become walking in the Spirit and filled with God's Spirit, if you know what to say and what not to say, it will cause business deals to fall in place for you. It'll put money in your bank. The Bible said all things that pertain to life. Clothes pertain to life. Food pertains to life. Cars pertain to life. Medicine pertains to life. Houses pertain to life. He said, according to his divine power, he will give you all things that pertain to life. But the key is knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is God omnipotent. He is the one that the Bible said not anything was made except that he made it. He is the creator of all things. And now that Christ lives in you. And so when you speak that name, you're invoking the creative power of Almighty God. And things can change in your life. And so when you're fearful and when you're doubtful, hold your peace until you can name that name that is going to change everything. The second illustration of this, the Bible said in Isaiah 53, and it's enunciated again in Acts chapter 8, that Jesus Christ going to the cross went like a lamb to the slaughter, dumb. He opened not his mouth. The greatest battle we have with our tongue. And so when we are sacrificially submitting to the Lord, it's a painful process. Our flesh is being crucified. That's a good time just to be silent. And say, I'm not going to say anything until I can say, as Jesus said, it is finished. The victory is mine. I have overcome even the death of my flesh, praise God. So the greatest battle we have is with our tongue. And the greatest battle we have is to not speak negatively. It's just so easy to do. I hope I've instilled in all of us in the last couple of weeks the awareness that we need to listen to what we're saying. We need to be aware that negative, critical, doubtful speech literally closes heaven. And just the opposite is true. If we learn to be positive and building up, if our speech is life-giving, you know, so many people, that most people never get anything complimentary said to them. You say, I don't have a ministry, Brother Steve. I wished I could sing. I wished I could preach. I wished I could dance. I wished I could do something. I just don't have a ministry. You can develop a ministry, and that ministry will be just going around every day encouraging somebody with a gift of encouragement, just speaking to them. Nobody's ever complimented them on their hair, and they're 33 years of age. Nobody's ever told them that they're nice and they have a good personality. Nobody's ever told them that they do a good job. Most people go through life with few or very little or maybe no encouragement at all. And so you can learn to be a person that gives life by just speaking to people and realizing and recognizing that there are people around you that are just waiting for somebody to say something that would encourage them. And so when we're doubtful, it literally closes heaven. But when we're positive about God and God's creation, and Pastor Brandon posted something I saw. He said, the person that you hate is the person that God loves and God creates. Or I'm paraphrasing that. But you ever thought about that? Said, oh, man, I can't stand that person. You're saying you can't stand somebody that God created. You say, well, they're an ugly person. Well, that's not the way they start. He created them in their image, and life has done some bad things to them. But by you hating them, you're just piling on, and they're not going to get any better. Anybody can love the lovable. Anybody can love Sister Rose. I look forward just to shaking her hand, Sister Gloria. She's one of those kind of people, every time I shook her hand or she hugged me or just talked to me, I felt better. You know, that glow would last for a few hours. Anybody can love somebody like that, but what about an old grouch? and an old grumpy person. You'd be the only person that would speak something positive in their life because they're so grouchy, everybody's afraid of them. And so you insult them in defense. I'm going to insult them before they insult me because they're going to insult me. But it's a ministry to say, I'm going to learn to speak positive things because I want to open heaven in my life, but I also would like to open heaven for somebody else. One of the greatest revelations we can receive is that life is in our tongue. By life, what do we mean? It literally can create. Life is in the tongue. In other words, it can be creative. It can change situations. Your tongue can change situations. Your tongue can cancel the negative. Your tongue can cause the good to manifest. And this is the real test of faith, that you can stand in a negative situation and say something positive. You can look at something bad and find something good to say. Pastor Becky is the best of that. Sister Becky is so easy to live with. She makes good situations better, and she makes bad situations good. That is a tremendous gift and tremendous ministry. I like to go in and the Lord has sent me to test her. I'm the one that's really made her what she is because I've caused her to pass all these tests. So I like to go in and just dump it all on her desk verbally. I say, you know what's happened? I just step back to see what she's going to say. And she always says, like I said, so-and-so, quit doing so-and-so. They dropped out of the ministry. She said, God will send somebody better. Everything I say, she always comes back with that positive. And the only reason I do that is I just want to make her a better person, so God uses me to do that. So that's the real test of faith. The Bible said, Jesus answered and saith him, have faith in God. For whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I don't know how you can get any more blatant. I don't know how you can get any more obvious. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, there you are, when you pray, pray is a vocal exercise. You're saying it. He said, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and ye shall have them. This is one of my favorite verses. I remember when this verse came alive to me. I was 20-some years of age. I was preaching in Leesville, Louisiana, which is right close to Fort Polk. And this verse leapt out of me as I was studying and preaching and praying and preparing for a sermon in the Leesville church. They had a very good church in Leesville, Louisiana, and I preached there a lot. But I remember this verse literally became a factor in my life. I'm sure I'd read it a lot of times before. I'd never heard anybody, to my knowledge, preach on it, elaborate on it, make it enlarge it, make it anything. But as I was praying in Leesville, Louisiana, this word literally leapt off of the page. That's what happens to me. I've been reading the Bible all of my life. I remember when I was a little boy, my daddy was an engineer on the New York Central Railroad, which became the Penn Central. And the way that worked as an engineer, you're on call. So they call you and they'll say, Mr. Fenders, in 3 hours, you got to be at the depot. You're taking a train from Mattoon, Illinois to St. Louis. And so daddy would tell us, I'm third out. I'm second out. What that meant was they was going to call an engineer before him. That would make him second or two. But if they called and he missed his call, it was vital that he make those calls. If he missed those calls, he was in trouble. And if he missed enough of them, he'd been fired. That was a great job back in those days. And I was by myself. I was maybe 8. I don't know how old I was. And they called. And they said, is Mr. Fender? I said, no, I'm his son, Steve. And they said, can you take the call for him? I said, I can. They said, well, he's first out, and this is the time. And so I accepted the call, thinking Dad would be back in a few moments. He didn't come back in a few moments. He went on and on and on. I was just a little boy. Boy, I went to praying because I thought my daddy was going to lose his job. I went to praying and walk on the floor, and we used to have a big old wooden set. I don't know whether anybody remembers these or not, but they had a set of encyclopedias in the top of them. Dad would sit for hours and read nothing but dictionaries and encyclopedias. He read all the time. And so they had the encyclopedia. And in the bottom of that, they had a big dictionary and a big family Bible. Well, I was about 8 years old or something. I hadn't really read the Bible much. And so I'd prayed everything I knew to pray to bring Daddy home so I could tell him that I had to go take that train out and he wouldn't lose his job, and I'd run out of prayers. I thought, I'll read the Bible. So I pulled that big old family Bible out and opened it up, and I didn't know one scripture or another, and I read in the book of Revelation, and the more I read, the worse hit God. Man, them monsters started coming out of there. Whoa, it was something. It scared me so bad. But I found that the Word of God is not to be frightening. When I read the Word of God, it literally, when God wants to spotlight something to me, Larry, it just gets big. I mean, it's like it's the only verse on the page. You know, does that happen to you? I mean, you just got them two columns there, but suddenly there's one verse. It's the only verse I can see. That means that God is trying to reveal to me a truth. Sometimes he wants to chastise me about something I'm doing or not doing. Sometimes he wants me to experience something I've never experienced. But that's the way the Word of God works when you're led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's what happened to this verse. I have made thee a father of many nations, for him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were. That last phrase leapt off of that Bible in Leesville, Louisiana, and I've literally never thought about faith in the same way. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. It's speaking the law of faith. Speaking the law of faith. Things that you realize that are needed in your life, needed in your family, needed in your sphere of influence, you really need it and it's not there. And you know, nobody's just going to show up and give it to you voluntarily. It means that you literally have to become a person that has tamed your tongue. Not only tamed your tongue, disciplined it in the law of faith. And you literally speak that thing into existence. You call it into faith. And ladies and gentlemen, I am a living example. I'm not a very special person in just the flesh, but God has made me special because I believe the Word of God. I'm an amazing believer. You're looking at somebody that don't believe most conspiracy theories. You're looking at somebody that don't believe that Bigfoot is real. You're looking at somebody that don't believe UFOs are real. You're looking at somebody that don't believe there are aliens visiting this earth from other planets. You're looking at somebody that does not believe that there are other planets on this earth. You're looking at somebody that does not believe there is a parallel planet. I read all this stuff, and when I get through, I say, I don't believe that. And so I'm not a very good believer. But for some reason, God has helped me to be a major believer in His Word and in His person. Because that's all I believe in. I believe that God is. I believe that He was. I believe that He will be. I believe that He's able. I believe that nothing is too hard for Him. And I believe that when Christ died on the cross, that He conquered every sin, disease, sickness that I've got. Not only that, He took away my limitations when He came out of that grave. And so praise God, it makes little old me supernatural, not by my flesh, but by the power of God that lives inside of me. So when I saw this phrase, calling those things that be not as though they were, I latched onto that. And that's been 40 some years ago, or longer than that, 50 years ago. And since that time, I've latched onto that verse and said, I have got the rightful sentence, the honor, the ability, the permission of God to call those things that be not as though they were. Now, that's what it means to tame the tongue. It's not just not chewing somebody out. It is literally taking your tongue and becoming creative with it and saying, I'm going to pray this. I'm going to confess this. I'm going to talk this. You know, somebody said, don't tell your dreams to anybody because they will rain on your parade. That's generally true. Bigger your dream is, the fewer people you can share it with. Because people that are jealous, people that are stupid, people that are carnal, people that don't have any faith, people that are just doubters, they're not going to agree with you, and they'll do their very best to destroy your dream. And so you got to pick very carefully who you share your dreams and your visions with, particularly if they are big. Because big dreams are not easily engaged by people you talk to because most people are lazy and they want you to fail because if you fail, it makes them feel better about themselves and they didn't have to get up out of the lazy boy. And so they're not going to be able to help you. So when you get ready to call those things that be not as though they were, number one, call them out to God. and call them out often. Why? So that your own ear can hear them. Why? Because after a while, it works, as I said a while ago, reverse in your heart. After a while, it becomes abundant in your heart. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. One lady came to me and said, you know, my husband, I can see him right now. Not in this church when I was traveling. She said, I see my husband. I know exactly what he's doing. Said he's drinking a beer right now. That's what he's doing. He's sitting and he's watching the wrestling matches right now, drinking a beer and smoking his Camels. That's what he's doing. She said, I just see that. I said, ma'am, let me just help you with that. I said, I see your husband said it. This is an actual thing. It happened in Southeast Texas, right over the worst flooding tonight. I said, let me help you with that. I know your husband. I know he doesn't live for God. I see your husband sitting in that chair, but here's what I see. I see the Holy Spirit coming on him. I see him taking a drink of that beer, and it don't taste good, and he sets it down. I see him putting his cigarette up. I see him getting out of his chair and kneeling at that chair and giving his life to Christ. And I said, I want you to see that. Let's rehearse this. Let's say this a while. And so we talked back and forth, and we just made this word picture. And then I joined hands with her, and I said, let's pray. She came the very next night to that revival meeting, and guess who was with her? Her husband. Guess what had happened? While we were praying, exactly what we said happened. He gave his life to Jesus Christ at that chair, and when she came home, he was a new man, and they'd been married 20-some years. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, there is a place you can get. This is not for carnal people. This is not for people that are not led of the Spirit. I think that I'm addressing some people tonight that have got a Ph.D. What do you mean? I believe you're graduated to a high place in the Holy Ghost. And so I'm addressing you today and telling you this is part of your arsenal. This is part of your weaponry. This is what God wants you to learn that you can do. You can speak it long enough, and you can speak it loud enough and repetitiously enough that after a while the devil says, I give up. And the angels say, I step in. And God said, this was my will all along. And things that were not now are because you called them into existence. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not somebody that is weak. You are strong. The Bible said you've got power. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, you've got power. You can change people. You got some ugly people in your life and you can't get rid of them because they're related to you. You can change them with the power of God and with your tongue. You've got a bad job, you can change that with your tongue. You've got an empty bank account, you can change that with your tongue. You've got a marriage that looks like it's on the rocks, you can change that with your tongue. You can call those things that be not as though they were, and they shall be in the name of Jesus Christ. Give me just a few more minutes. But before they do that, I want us to stand on our feet right now, and I want everybody to think about the thing in your life that you would most like to see changed. Think about it for just a moment. Think about it. What is the thing that you would most like? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's health. Think about what you're going to say, because we're going to call it into being right now. Okay? I want us to all say out loud. Nobody's listening because everybody's talking. A Baptist guy said, you Pentecostals said, you guys are crazy. He said, you all pray at the same time? He said, that don't make no sense to God. He said, he can't understand that. I said, you mean you don't think God can hear but one person when they pray? He said, that's right. I said, what about the people that are praying in Africa when we're praying in America? He said, I hadn't thought about that. I'm telling you that God can hear everybody in this building at the same time. What is it you need? Do you need a healing? Do you need money? Do you need your son saved? Let's pray right now. I want you to call those things that be not as though they were. I call this building filled with people that need God. Not people that transfer out of other good spirit-filled churches, but people that come out of bars and off the streets. People that are going through divorce and anxiety. People that are sick. People that are homosexual. People that have just gone through a divorce and their heart is broken. Lord, I call into being that this building be filled with people like that. And when Pastor Brandon preaches and when I preach and whoever ministers preach, they'll hear the word of life and they'll stream down to these altars by the dozens and the 50s and the hundreds and get saved and find all things that pertain to life in Jesus' name. Praise God. I call it done. I speak it into existence in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I hope you called a miracle into your life right now. You may be seated. I'm not quite through. I'll be through in just a couple of minutes. Give me just a little bit more time. Praise God. And so we call those things that are not as though they were. Listen to this. Speak the law of faith. Learn to speak the law of faith. This is one of my favorite passages I've preached on all over the country. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. Let me stop right there. Just put those two words together. Faith speaketh. Faith is not dumb. Faith is not a mute. Faith is not tongue-tied. Faith does not have its tongue removed. Faith speaketh on this wise. And then he goes into the negative. He said, this is what faith doesn't say. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ from above. Have you ever got sick and said, I would to God that Benny Hinn would appear in my living room and breathe on me? I don't know whether you've ever said that, but that's wrong. Because now you got more faith in Benny, and I like Benny. I've met Benny, wonderful guy. Becky's done music for him. Wonderful guy. That's not the point. The point is when you say a certain person has to pray for me, you're saying, who's going to ascend and bring him down? Friend, you are a believer. You're washed in his blood. There's nobody that can activate the presence of Jesus in your life like you. Not me, not Pastor Brandon, not Pastor Hagee, not Kenneth Copeland, not T.D. Jakes. You. When you get that understanding that faith is in your heart, you won't say who is going to ascend to bring Christ down, or you will not say who is going to descend to bring Christ up. Faith speaks. Faith never says who will ascend. Faith never says who will descend to bring him up. What does faith say? This is what faith says. The Word is nigh thee. Who is the Word? And the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word is nigh thee. You ain't never alone. That's the bad thing about acting up and being sinful once you get saved. Jesus Christ is right there with you, even when you're in sin. Once you get saved, Jesus is right there all the time. He hears everything you say. He sees everything you do. And so, praise God, the Word is nigh thee, even in thy heart. Jesus is inside right here, praise God. And so, now what he is waiting is for you to let him speak. Because when you speak in the Spirit and you speak in the Word, that's actually Christ speaking in you. And everything Jesus said when he was walking on the earth for 3.5 years, and no matter what kind of a circumstance it was, somebody was dead, somebody was blind, somebody was sick, whatever. When Jesus spoke it, that situation was reversed. And so that same Jesus is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. The Word of faith, the Word of faith. When you realize that you have got your tongue in training, and it's no longer gossiping, and it's no longer a bitter stream, but it's a sweet stream. It's no longer cursing. It's no longer negative. It's no longer critical. But you have trained that tongue through the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God and praying in the Spirit. You have trained your tongue. Now the Word of faith is nigh thee even in thy heart. But better than that, now it is the Word of faith in your tongue, in your mouth. The Word of faith, that means you can literally, in the face of the biggest enemy and the biggest devil, you can suddenly begin to say, the same Jesus that rose the dead, the same Jesus that rode on the ship and walked on the water, the same Jesus that created, the same Christ that came out of that grave, the same Jesus that Lazarus come forth, that same Jesus is now able to speak with my tongue. It's the pen of a ready writer, and praise God, I'm going to see this situation reversed. What does faith say? The Word is near. Jesus is near. The Word of faith is in your mouth. We are literally challenged to create the world that God desires for us by the power of our tongue. Now, God's not going to give us a spiritual world just ready-made, but God has given us the power to create the world that he has imagined and believed for us. And that world is a world of blessing. It's a world of life. It's a world of joy through faith. Hebrews 13:3, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed, what? not by the hand of God, but by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Do you understand what creation is? Creation is something appearing out of nothing. The word create and make are not synonyms. Make means that you assemble out of parts that are already there. Create means you put it together out of nothing. God is a creator. And so that's the reason why faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen. If it is evidence, you're not going to create it. You're going to assemble it. You're going to make it. But God's got miracles for people in this building, and there is literally no evidence of it tonight on a Wednesday night. But by Thursday, you can be driving it, wearing it, eating, sleeping in it, working in it, praise God, because you have got a tongue that has been tamed by the Holy Spirit and disciplined by the Word of God. And now, thank God, you understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And so you don't have to live in the squalor of a world the devil has made for you. You don't have to live like your cousin that doesn't know God. He's got 3 more years of college than you got. It does not matter. It simply does not matter, because what you've got is a tamed tongue disciplined by the Word of God. You understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and you say, I don't like this little world I'm living in, so I'm going to speak another world into existence. And you start saying, let there be, let there be, let there be, calling those things that be not as though they were. And praise God, I'm going to tell you, this is a principle that I practice every day of my life. And ladies and gentlemen, it's worked awfully good for me. It has given me a life that I just love, a life of power. You talk about white privilege, I got red privilege. And that's when you're washed in the blood of Jesus. When you get red privilege, you got something. White privilege will fail you, believe me. I've seen lots of people that have been failed by white privilege, but I ain't never seen nobody be failed by red privilege. When you get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, when you begin to acknowledge you are the body of Christ, you are the hands of Christ. The Bible said in you is the mind of Christ. You're a little creator. That's what you are. You're nothing but a little creator. You don't have to take the crumbs from the table. Praise God. You can make the table, and then the Bible said he'll just prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. People working against you, talking against you, gossiping, trying to tear you down. It don't matter, because you're a little creator with a tame tongue that is able to cause miracles to come into your life. Jump up on your feet and give God some praise in this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shikoroma halalakoraha. Praise God, praise God. There's somebody right now in this world that your life is a mess. Your world is not something that I would want to live in 15 minutes. And you're living there 24 hours a day. You need to get out of your seat and come up here and say, I'm going to create me a new world by the power of a tame tongue and the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Man, I drive around San Antonio and I see pitiful people. And I pray for them as they go by. But I just can't believe how they live. I just can't believe how they live in squalor, begging on a street corner, nothing. I mean, their life's just a mess. And that's the way they live. And praise God, my life is different. Not because I'm somebody special, but because I met Jesus Christ. And not only did I meet him as my Savior, I begin to study his word, and it began to unfold like a rose. He's called the Rose of Sharon. He unfolded in my life, and I began to see what was available. All things that pertain to life. That means relationship, that pertains to life. Health, that pertains to life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God has healed me from so much. And I've had a real problem with sugar for the last several years, but I marched into Becky's office today. And I said, Becky, I'm healed. I've been checking my blood. It's like 105 with no medicine. It's just amazing. I said, I've experienced another miracle. I just refuse to be a diabetic. I just refuse to be a diabetic. I just refuse to have cancer. I just refuse to be depressed. I just refuse to be in poverty. I just refuse to have the devil just harass me all the time, because praise God, I've learned I've got a weapon in my mouth, and that is a tongue that is tamed by the word of God and anointed of the Holy Ghost. It's the pen of a ready writer. And when the devil comes in with sickness, I say, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. When the devil said, you're going bankrupt, oh, I say, I had a banker tell me 30 years ago, said, you need to declare bankruptcy. Oh, praise God, I didn't declare bankruptcy. And that banker would like to be my banker. They told me at Broadway, at Wells Fargo Bank, the vice president sat there at my table and said, you get any kind of deal you want to deal, and we will beat it. She said, there's not a bank in San Antonio that does not want your business. That changed from 30 or 35 years ago, because I refuse to be bankrupt. I refuse to be a diabetic. I refuse to be sick. I refuse all of this thing. I don't have to do that. Jesus Christ literally bought it all in heaven. And if you've got something in your life that you don't like, and the lawyers can't fix it, and the doctor can't fix it, I challenge you to get out of your pew and run up here right now.